You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, there, lads. It is the Weekender with me, Gareth Roberts. A surprised Gareth Roberts. A Gareth Roberts that completely forgot that he was hosting this show and instead went and drank copious amounts of alcohol and got up at about half 11. But up the Reds, we've won the league. We've waited 30 years for this moment. I've got Damien Cavanna, I've got Paul Amann, I've got Steve Evans, and I've got Jackie Wilcox to react to the fact that we got to see a Liverpool captain with the league trophy in his hands for the first time in three decades. I was 13 years old last time that happened, and I've waited a long, long time, as have we all. So, Steve, I'll start with you, mate. How are you, mate? Did you enjoy yourself last night?
I've enjoyed myself very, very much, mate, but I'm paying the price a little bit today, I must admit. Like everyone got carried away with the celebrations. It was a good night, you know. Obviously, a massive shame that we couldn't be in the ground to watch him. I was 15 or something, wanted to show my age there. It's a shame we couldn't be there. But I thought the club did it very well, you know, the way it was set up. I thought the stage and all the fireworks and the way they give everyone a little entrance onto the stage. I thought it was fantastic to watch, and it was a bit surreal, to be honest with you. So when you waited for something for that long, and then it finally happens, you kind of have to pinch yourself a little bit, and then. You know, what a 12 months it's been for this football club, eh? Oh my God, I don't think, if you told us this had been happening about 2-3 years ago, I'd have probably said you're dreaming, but here we are, champions of Everton.
I probably should say as well, that coming up on the weekend there, we have got a chat with Paul, who's on the call here, and is going to react to this as well, but a chat between Paul and Gibbo about the virtual Pride event. We've also got Boss on, because there's going to be a virtual Boss event, so that's coming up on the weekend as well. And then in the final part of the show, we will talk about the Newcastle game, which everyone seems to have forgot about a little bit, but we have got one more game to play. Jackie, Evo, I think, has touched on a very good point there in that we've waited so long for this, and it's not what we wanted in terms of we would have all loved to have been there and been in the ground and hail the champions and all that kind of thing. I was a little bit worried that, you know, such was the focus on this event, if you like, because that's what it became. I thought, you know, there's loads of things that could go wrong here and it might not feel right and it might feel strange and all the rest of it. But I think Evo's spot on. They nailed it, didn't they?
Absolutely. And I think the game as well before it sort of added to the occasion. Yep. You know, we talked last week about the fact, you know, what happened to me, especially after Arsenal, which was a bit of a damp squib. You think, if we go into the game and we don't get a result, is it going to ruin the party a little bit? But we came out, absolutely showed why we're champions. You know, absolutely, it all changed when Pulisic came on. But we had an incredible game, wonderful goals. I mean, you know, every goal was like a contender for the goal of the season. And then just did what we do well. We showed we know how to party. You know, it felt right that the players kind of chose a track list. So, you know, thank God there wasn't too much Coldplay. You know, it just felt right. It felt like we waste a long time for this. It was a shame that we couldn't be there. I mean, I think we've all had a reflection of the people that you would have liked to have spent time with. Everybody kind of shed a tear. You know, it would have been better if I'd been leaving there and kind of going down the King Harry afterwards and having a pint with everyone that you see on match day. But we didn't, and we made the best of the situation.
And Damien, I always throw you under the bus, don't I, mate, and say, remind you of your age and all the wonderful things you've seen in the past around Liverpool Football Club. Where does that rate, mate?
extremely highly. I mean, we're talking about ages before I'm going top trumps here. I was 21 last time we won it. Does that make me the oldest here? I'm not sure. No, it doesn't. Paul shaking his head here. I'm looking for that. So I was trying to throw someone else under the bus so you can come with me. What an emotional time it's been. If someone had said to you, you know, like, well, you're going to win the league when there's no fans in the stadium, and you're going to win the league when Chelsea are playing Man City, and then you're going to get a trophy where no one can be at, how good's all that going to be? And it's just like you're pouring cold water on cold water, isn't it? But the emotion that's involved in the journey that we are involved in, what makes our club, you know, how much we feel about it and the whole history of it, it's has been as special as any of the championship wins that I can remember from when I was younger. So that's how effectively whoever managed that, whoever stage managed that last night, you know, they've done absolutely as splendidly as they could. It will always be a shame that we weren't there cheering it on. And I like the idea that, you know, Jürgen keeps hammering it, don't he? We're going to have this big celebration, you know, I don't know when it's going to be, we're going to have it. Well, I'll be there with you, Jürgen, don't worry about that. I've never ever done a homecoming before, never bothered with it, but I'll be at this one. But that day was just at the pinnacle. This has been a journey, hasn't it, on many occasions with various dips, like anyone for clubs, you know, and most significantly, people kind of talk about 2014. And then you talk about Jürgen's journey himself, where the team's progressed year on year and the graph's been going up. And we all knew when we lost, very unfortunately, in some ways in Kiev, that this wasn't going to be just one of those things we're going to regret forever. This is the start of something. And this whole thing of this, since the lockdown, I just felt it's been a continuum and a worthy continuum. And these circumstances have been, you know, a great shame in a lot of ways, but fair play to the league and the clubs for whatever their motivations were for getting football back on. And what great pleasure we had there last night. I mean, I was just... I had a quiet time just watching it with a few friends on Zoom, actually, you know, just sitting there watching it. But it was so emotional, lifting that trophy and the genuine smiles on their faces and how much it meant to everybody around. And it was absolutely fabulous. So if this is the crappiest way to win the league, the only way is up, because we're going to do it again next year.
I think, Paul, as well, that's spot on, isn't it, from Damien, and that, like, you know, I think inevitably some, you know, people start to have conversations now already about sort of, okay, well, what's next? Because that's life, isn't it? That's, you know, we should be savouring this and we should be living this, but there are what's next conversations already. I think on the what's next conversation, Damien's nailed it there in terms of if you want to look for a motivation after you've won everything, essentially, after you've won all the titles that there are to win now in a very short space of time, the motivation surely is win it again, and then we do have that moment where we're hailing the champions, where we're in the ground, where it's all those things we dreamt of. And, you know, I said last night on something we did, I'll always remember this moment because I waited 30 years for it. But equally now, I think I'm starting to feel excited about the idea of us going again, of us, you know, trying to win the title again, because I think we shown last night, as Jackie said there, you almost lose the match in this. But, you know, last night we played a team that had loads on the line in terms of qualification for the Champions League. There's beef there as well, let's be honest, that, you know, like, they don't really like us. I thought the manager, Frank Lampard, was very ungracious in his comments.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
And so that kind of shows you where they're at and what they think about us and where they want to be. And everyone's talking about them as being contenders for next season and all that. And we played them off the park.
We did. And you know what? I don't think they're going to be contenders for another 2-3 years. They're a good team. They're a developing team. But they're nothing to the level that they need to be if they want to be contenders. But it did remind me of looking at how we played 3-4 years ago ourselves and seeing the development time that it's taken for us to get to where we are. Looking forward, for me, it's not just about maintaining this level. It's about improving it. It's about getting the FA Cup as well, getting the League Cup as well. You know, let's get all of the flipping trophies, not just four. You know, we can do more. We need to deepen the squad because we actually need to get more players for all those competitions. But equally, the performances that have been put in by some of them lads, just tremendous. I mean, watching last night, I felt so much for Henderson that he wasn't able to play. And when he came out and lifted that, it's just awesome. I don't think there was a dry eye in Merseyside and beyond. It was one of those moments that will stick with us forever. Yes, absolutely missed being at Anfield and or being able to go to the pub with mates and watch it properly. But to still to be able to see it, to be in touch with so many people through social media. I mean, if this had happened 30 years ago, we wouldn't have had half the opportunities to keep in touch over it. So actually, you know, the fact that this has happened now has at least meant we can keep in touch, have the Zoom calls, have the different social media stuff kicking off all the time and hearing different views and little funny bits that you've missed. I mean, Minamino being pulled back in by Hendo because he was out on his own sort of thing. That sort of stuff, that was just lovely touches. Things that happened in that presentation ceremony just spoke volumes about the whole team. When I saw Hendo stood there at the end being interviewed and talking about the team effort of it all, and I thought, hang on, this is the captain who's lifted all them cups and the first thing he talks about is team. What a guy.
Yeah. He's spot on there, and he pulled in that, like, you know, you analyse every moment of that of the trophy lift and how they're all behaving around each other. And, like, you know, you saw Real Madrid lift the title this week, and it looked a bit weird in terms of the dynamics between the people. You know, Gareth Bale sort of out on his own, looking very uncomfortable and that kind of thing. You know, from our boys there, you got a real sense that, you know, the culture at Liverpool right now is second to none.
Yeah, and it's, for me, it's the secret of our success, without a doubt. I think, you know, it certainly is, like, if you can tell, you know, if you look, like, to when we won the Champions League last year, you could tell by the lads who were on the bench who weren't getting a game, they were the first to congratulate the manager or jump on the manager as well. It's a very, this is what the manager's done. He's brought in these players, and this is why he does so much. He's ruthless with his background searches on these people, because he doesn't want anyone to come in upset the apple cart. He wants everyone to be, literally to be as part of this one team together unit. And this is what we've got to build on now. You know, it's about going on and creating a dynasty from here now for this football team. It's absolutely unbelievable how what they've achieved this season. You know, there's certainly been times where I think we could be better, and I think certainly there's an extra 20-30% to come from the side, you know, which is scary for other teams to listen in, really, because they're like, Christ, if these get improve again. But, you know, there's definitely been games I've looked back and gone, oh, we got away with it there a little bit. So, you know, if this team can get, I think we can. Just the ceiling's very, very high for this team. And the togetherness that they've all got comes from the manager. You can just tell, you know, the whole team, the whole backroom staff, everyone was up there and part of celebrations. And it's what the manager has made sure and enforced since he's come in. He said, I want everyone to, you know, it's the fan base as well. You know, the fan base is, I've been going to match for a long time, and I've never known such a unified fan base as well. You know, we had the Rafa days, everyone was split. Hodgson was tough. You know, Rodgers had his doubts as well all the way through. Obviously, you know, we go back as far as you like. Probably since Kenny, I don't think everyone, the fan base has been completely unified behind the manager. Also helps that he's winning trophies, like, as well, which makes it a bit easier. But, you know, as I said, we've got to build on this now, and you know, it's very carefully add to the squad to make sure we don't bring anyone who's good, as I say, upset the balance of this unified team, because, as I said, it's the reason why we've been so successful.
And it's one of those times, Evo, as well, where I think, you know, you reflect about yourself, you reflect about the club, you think about all the people that have served the club over decades, and, you know, it was lovely to see Kenny there involved last night. That was a great touch, and, you know, nice that even that Souness and John Barnes were there, you know, doing it for Sky and things like that. I mean, and someone, you know, someone who has been a great servant to the club is your dad, mate. How has Roy Evans taken the news that we've finally won the league again?
He's been as happy as anyone, mate. He has, you know, he's a proper red, just like me. You know, we have our, we always have, you know, watch the match together when we can, which has been a lot easier during lockdown. I must admit, we've been able to sort of socially distance watching the match together. We always have our little 10-15 minute breakdown of what we thought was right and wrong after every match, a little phone call, and we discuss a few things. And then, but yeah, he's delighted, like all of us, you know. He's a cop-out through and through, and I'm sure he sent a toast of champagne last night. He watched it with my sister and my mum, so we had a little video call on just before they lifted the trophy. It was a nice moment. Yeah, he's loved it. Like, he's a big rev.
Boss. All right, well, we've got some stuff coming up, as I mentioned earlier. There is an interview between John and Paul talking about the virtual Pride event. There is some stuff here that's coming up as well about a virtual boss event that you can get involved in. And then it'll be back to us shortly to talk about the Newcastle game, which is coming up, which is kind of odd now that it's all done and dusted. But it is a game that Liverpool have got to play. So we'll be back soon. And here's that stuff that I've just said is coming up on that.
Summer isn't cancelled, it's just different. It's still the Liverpool we know and love. Our waterfront's still here, our museums, galleries, they haven't gone away. Our shops and restaurants can't wait to see you. This year, let's explore closer to home, discover the places you've always wanted to go and those you didn't even know existed, and remember why this city is loved around the world. Fall in love with Liverpool all over again. Visit Liverpool.com.
And hello, champions. It is John Givens with a little insert. I'm joined by Paul, who obviously has been with the show throughout. And I'm just coming on now to have a little chat about Pride this weekend. Paul, it's Pride Month. But for Liverpool, there's a virtual Pride this weekend, a virtual march. So if you could just let people know a little bit about what that entails.
So the virtual march is taking place this weekend, and there's loads of online activity that LCR Pride Foundation are leading on. So if you follow their media on Facebook, in Twitter, Instagram, etc., you'll get loads of opportunities to see lots of people and groups and organisations supporting Pride in Liverpool this year. This will include the club, who are doing a video which will be released shortly. Cop Outs have done a little montage video of some of our work over recent years. Only this week, watching a video by a world-leading boxer spouting the most vicious homophobic tripe. And you just think, why would somebody in sports want to do that? Or in any part of life, to be honest. So we know that there are still some horrible attitudes out there, and it's fantastic when you get the club and decent fans showing their support and really making sure that Pride is something that everybody can enjoy and take part in.
No, absolutely agree. And you mentioned the club there a few times. The club have supported Pride in Liverpool for a while now, and I know you've been sort of key to that relationship. It's been a long process, I think it is fair to say, isn't it? And you're always keen to point that out when people say, oh, it's great that Liverpool are doing this. You say it's been a lot of work. It's been, and that's not to say there's not been willing on both sides, but it takes a while to sort of cement a relationship, you know, like you have now. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I started working with the club in 2011. It wasn't until 2014 that they first marched at Pride. Since 2014 to now, we've had rises and falls in their participation at Pride, it's fair to say. And I think we're now at a point where it's built into the expectation of staff that they will take part and show their support at Pride. And it's built into the calendar of the club that there'll be some sort of contribution and support to Pride each year, to physically demonstrate that, you know, they do give us stuff about their LGBT plus fans, and that they will march alongside Cop Outs and have leaders in the club taking part in that. I mean, Peter Moore has been absolutely clear that he wants to make sure that all fans feel safe and enjoy the game and aren't going to be left behind. And that's part of his commitment in marching at Pride, which is fantastic.
No, it certainly is. And I think this year as well, obviously, there's no fans in the ground at the moment, but the Anfield looked pretty fantastic last night, and it must have been really proud for you to see the Cop Outs flag on display along with lots and lots of others in Anfield.
Yeah, having our banner up there on the Cop was fantastic for the last few matches. Hats off to Peter Carney from Soccer in the City and lots of his mates for spending hours and hours in positioning flags, then repositioning them for the trophy lift, etc. That, you know, and getting them all sprayed as well to make sure that they were going to be safe during the fireworks, etc. Really, really proud to see our flag up there along with all the others. And then last night to see a huge rainbow flag in pole position for the pitch side interview slots.
Yeah.
That was put there to mark Pride and to show the club's commitment to Pride, along with rainbow flags on the main flag poles outside Anfield as well. All of those are just symbols, but they're symbols that you can't bloody miss.
No, absolutely. You certainly could miss that rainbow one yesterday, and it was great to see. And I think for some people, there's still, unfortunately, the attitude of, why do the club need to do this? Why do they need to support this? And I'd say to anyone, you know, I mean, my general advice is don't read the comments, you know, in life or anything. But on this occasion, I think it is actually important to do so. Whenever Liverpool post something about Pride, you know, if you see the replies, most of them are positive, it must say, but there's a lot of negativity in there. And it's frustrating, Paul, but it also shows how far we've all got to go, really, to make sure that football is inclusive and football is for everyone.
Absolutely. I mean, those negative comments, they demonstrate the need for initiatives like Pride. They demonstrate the need for the club to show its commitment to make sure that all fans feel safe going to the ground and all fans feel welcome. And when you get those negative comments, sometimes you can engage with them and you can actually talk with them, talk them through the issues and make sure that they actually understand that it's not about politics or putting politics in football, which actually needs to be there anyway, but that's another matter. It is about the dignity and respect that fans need to be able to have in order to enjoy the game. And for too many fans, the situation has been that they've not felt comfortable to come to the game because of homophobia, because of transphobia and biphobia. And to have initiatives that raise the profile of these issues helps make sure that more fans can go and enjoy the game and feel safe. And come on, isn't that what being a Liverpool fan's about looking out for your fellow fan?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, I'm being sort of negative there about some fans, but I find actually most people sort of will listen. And I think a really good example of that is the Rent Boys stuff, which was, you know, for obviously associated with Chelsea, which I think a lot of fans would sing, you know, just without thinking about it, really. Oh, it's just a song we sing when Chelsea come to town. It's part of the song, blah, 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 blah. But I think, you know, when we've done stuff in the past, or I've just spoken to people, you know, in pubs or something about it, I think most people will go, oh, actually, you know, I didn't actually realise that was offensive. And people will sort of change their actions, or will people think twice, at least, before doing it again.
Absolutely. And the way people have been prepared to listen and take on board concerns that people have got, that makes life so much easier. When you're not dealing with stubborn people in the main, most people are prepared to listen and, you know, learn a few things here and there, because actually, you know, it's fun to actually get on with other people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. It's fun to get on with each other. And football, as I said, should be for everyone, and you want everyone to feel comfortable. Just back onto this weekend then, Paul. It's obviously a shame that the big march kind of won't happen. I marched with you guys last year. Had a really good time, you know, and enjoyed the spectacle, enjoyed the day. I didn't enjoy the weather too much. I think it lashed down. Apart from that, it was great. It's a shame. It's a good excuse to go to the pub. I've got to go to a bar. But it's a shame we can't do that this weekend. But I'm sure it's still going to be fun for people. I'm sure it's still going to be, you know, a proud moment. You know, to lean on that pun slightly, for a lot of people. And yeah, I'm sure there's still things for people to look forward to.
Plenty to look forward to. Click on some of the links that we'll be sharing from Copout's social media. Follow LCR Pride, and really you'll find loads of stuff going on and lots to learn and realise why is it we do Pride. Pride started off as a protest. It started off as a riot, and it's been part of the reason why we now have some LGBT plus rights in this country. But let's not forget that there's over 70 countries around the world where you can face anything up to the death penalty just for being LGBT.
Absolutely. Huge thanks to Paul. I'll let you go back and talk about football now. Back over to Gareth.
Hi, is that Lee?
Yeah.
Lee. you've won £84,000 on the football pools.
No way. Are you messing with me?
We're not. You've won £84,000 on the football pools. What will you spend it on?
Yes, get in. That's perfect. I can put it towards moving out of my parents and getting my own place.
Well, congratulations on the freedom, Lee, and good luck for the next game.
Yeah, and hopefully you'll be ringing again. Thanks, mate. This is brilliant news.
This is what winning sounds like. Test your skills. £10 gives you 10 games every month plus 4 free games for new players. And there's £3 million up for grabs this Saturday. Please gamble responsibly. Sign up at footballpools.com/play.
So it's John Gibbons for Weekender. I'm delighted to be joined over Zoom by Danny Nicko from Boss Night to talk about a special thing you've got planned. Dan, you're putting a big event on at the Echo Arena. No, I'm only joking. Do not turn up.
We wish. Yeah.
But you've tried to do at least maybe the next best thing, or at least the next best thing you can do at the moment.
Yeah, I guess so. So obviously we would have had the party to end all parties, I think. If things would have went our way in more normal circumstances, but obviously, like everybody else, we as event organisers have been affected by the current situation, and yeah, you've got to sort of make do with what you've got and the cards you've been dealt. So we didn't want this most special of seasons to end on a bit of a whimper. So on Sunday evening, we are going to do a bus end of season party with a bit of a difference. There isn't going to be a crowd there, unfortunately. So we were sort of playing around with ideas, you know, could we do something? And we had a conversation amongst the lads, that organiser and the performers, and also Levi's, actually, who were very keen. Obviously, yourselves, the Anfield Rap, have worked with Levi's before. They're very keen to promote music. They said, if you want to do something, we'll help support you. So very quickly, over the past few days, it's turned into this event on Sunday evening that we're going to live stream straight after the Newcastle game.
Yeah, it's going to be great for people who, for them, sort of Boss has been, you know, an accompaniment for them really kind of throughout the whole thing, whether that's been attending the events, but also obviously for a lot of people now, it's watching the clips, you know, seeing the clips come through as on social media and stuff like that. And I guess a bit like the Anfield Rap, you know, a lot of people say to us, oh, if I can't be there, I feel like I'm there with you, you know, through social media, you know, so many other people have felt like they're at Boss Nights as well. So I think for everyone, even around the world, it would have been sort of a little bit strange if there wouldn't have been a little bit of a Webster and Keogh after the last game of the season.
Yeah, well, that's it. And I think, you know, this is the first one that we are actually going to live stream. Over the past couple of years, after everything we've done, people have said, or when we've announced something, people have said, can you live stream it? And for us, it's about the live event. It's about actually doing the event. You know, this thing that we started, it was for our mates. You know, it wasn't meant to be anything special or anything worldwide, that kind of thing. It was simply just a place to get together for our mates. So we've never actually gone down that route of doing a live stream, but here we are in July 2020, and we've got no choice if we want to actually run the gig. So we've teamed up with our friends at Sound City, who have got a new platform called Guest House, which allows artists and event promoters to effectively stage events online, put a paywall up in front of the video, and then stream it at a particular time.
So, in terms of, you know, we're all sort of reflecting at the moment on, you know, the Premier League victory and what it sort of means to us both individually, sort of families, but also the journey sort of we've been on with our mates. And it's been quite a journey, obviously, for Boss and for you boys, both in terms of, you know, personally, obviously, but also, you know, the events and how they've grown and how the team and the Knights have sort of grown alongside each other, really. And for many people, you know, they believe that it's not necessarily a coincidence, and I'm sure it's something that you've heard a lot, Dan, which is that, you know, actually the what, you know, supporter culture has contributed massively to the togetherness that we have right now, and Boss has been sort of at the forefront of that. How do you feel when people say that? Because, I mean, I know you're a humble guy, so, you know, you won't be able to be taken too much of the credit. I'm sure you won't be in the queue for a medal. But even you, with all your humility, it must be nice for you to hear people say that, you know, part of what makes this team so good is the spirit of togetherness, and part of what's made that a thing, and part of what made this all kind of so much fun is what you guys have managed to do.
Listen, yeah, it's nice to hear, obviously. But, yeah, I wouldn't take any credit. You know, if anyone's going to take credit, it's Jamie and the other performers, you know, that sort of get up on stage. But I don't even think they take sort of any even fraction of credit for what this team has achieved and for what Jürgen has instilled in it. You know, it comes from the top right the way down to the bottom. But ultimately, all we've done is provided, you know, a platform over the years. You know, you've been there yourself when we've opened the doors in the district. You know, it's nothing special. We're not some sort of magicians, you know, that are pulling strings in the background. We've simply provided a platform and got a very special football club, as we know, both on and off the pitch. And when it comes together, it creates very special moments.
Yeah, and there's been sort of loads of those over the years. And, you know, Sunday, you know, won't quite be the same. You know, we all sort of, you know that, you know, for those of us who were sort of down there, and even the sort of images, you know, will be quite the sort of riotous atmosphere that people are maybe used to seeing. But it's going to be good, isn't it? And people are going to enjoy it.
Yeah, and we are going to try our best, by the way, John. You know, it's not going to be a case of, we're not going to throw Jamie in the corner, you know, with an acoustic guitar and say, there you go. You know,
we're going to find out whether he can sing or not, mate. You know what I mean? We're going to find out what his voice is like, because normally it's just everyone shouting.
yeah. No, we have invested in the production. You know, you've got the video screen, we've got the nice light, and we've got the sound. We've got a professional camera crew in. It's not going to be me standing at the side of the street with my iPhone. It's we've got a proper crew in that we bring it all together. I think the technology will stand up as well in terms of the guest house platform and being able to have people around the world signing in simultaneously. There's going to be a lot of chat function on there as well, so people can get involved. And over the course of an hour and 45 minutes or so, we're going to have a little party.
Just before we go, it must be frustrating for you for you guys, as a shame, because I'm sure you have big plans for 2020. You know, you've made Bloss a global phenomenon, really. You know, the places where you've taken it, it really is all sorts of all corners of the globe. And, you know, we're creative people. We like to sort of do new things and try new things, and it's all sort of stopped, isn't it? And at least we can still do podcasts, mate. You know what I mean? For you guys, you must have had to put a lot of things on hold, and there must be quite a lot of things that you can't wait to get back in and sorting out for maybe 2021.
Oh, definitely. It seems like, you know, the whole start of this coronavirus crisis sort of coincided with us getting off the plane from India. We just done that gig with the club. Over in New Delhi, and that happened just a few days before, you know, the lockdown happened in the UK and the world, and certainly events, you know, changed, if not forever, you know, certainly for the medium term. So yeah, it's been a tiny bit of a frustration, but at the same time, you know, we're realistic in this. You know, plenty of people suffered the worst of hardships, you know, with losing people, losing jobs, that kind of thing. We've just had to cancel a few nice gigs, and we could cancel a trip to Tokyo, that kind of thing. But in due course, I'm sure that will come back, and we can get back in the swing of things.
So Sunday, just before we go, if people want the details on how to get involved, I guess best going to the social media. All the details.
Social media. And you click through on the link to guest house. We can sign up. As I say, there's a small charge, £7. I think one or two people on social media said, why is that a charge? But at the end of the day, you know yourself, it costs thousands of pounds. So we've got an empty warehouse there on Sunday that needs to be rigged out with light and sound, engineering, a camera crew, all that kind of thing. So there is a small charge, but hopefully people around the world can get involved and enjoy the spirit of a Boss events that we would have liked to have done in normal circumstances, but we're a tiny bit restrained.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be tuning in, so I'm looking forward to that massively. Do get involved. And yeah, should be a good one and a fitting way to finish a brilliant season. But in the meantime, nice one to Dan and good luck.
Nice one. Nice one to everyone there. That's all dead interesting. Get involved. Do what you do. And yeah, up the Reds. Jackie, we're playing Newcastle. I mean, this is sort of the least important football match ever. But, you know, it's a game anyway. What are you expecting to see from it? We saw a good version of Liverpool, didn't we, last night, in that, you know, you wanted them to turn up. It's been odd how they've played, let's be honest, since the resumption of football. Loads of reasons for that, I think. You know, not least that we got the title done and dusted and that players went and celebrated that, and, you know, mentally, physically, whatever, they've looked a little bit off at times. They dropped more points in this period of games than they did in the previous 40 games in the Premier League. But there was just no jeopardy. You know, there was nothing on the line. There won't be anything on the line against Newcastle either. But, I mean, A, what do you think we'll get from that Newcastle game? And B, what are you expecting to see from Liverpool next season as well?
So I think, you know, it is a weird game. You know, Newcastle this season have had a lot of noise around the club. You know, a lot of uncertainty. You know, they're safe. I mean, they got the 40 points. They haven't won a game in the last, like, seveners or something like that. They picked up two out of the last 15 points. They shouldn't be a challenging game for us, but, you know, neither of us have kind of got, you know, a big thing to play for. It's either going to be dead boring or it's going to be exhibition football from Liverpool. You know, one of the two. You know, hopefully Salah is kind of focused on, you know, sort of the goals that he's still got personally. Yeah, I think...
Can't hit the barn door at the moment, can he?
I think we focus on that, but you think that this could be like the first Liverpool player in however long scoring like more than 20 goals in three consecutive seasons. Yeah. And he's still, you know, in terms of kind of all the top 10 players, he's still scoring goals. He's not scoring goals the level he was three seasons ago or two seasons ago. But, you know, he's still had a tremendous season. You still wouldn't swap, you know, our front three for like anybody in the world. But, you know, I mean, maybe, you know, it might be kind of good from just to finish the season on a high and score a load of goals. Who knows? So, yeah, we can hope anyway.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think, Damien? It is a weird one, isn't it? It's like, you know, I always think that at the start of seasons and at the end of the seasons, you can get really strange results and strange performances. And I think everyone's going to be looking in, aren't they, and saying, well, are Liverpool going to be playing this match in the flip-flops, or are they going to put the footy boots on?
Yeah, it's a free hit, isn't it? Which we don't have many of them. Do you remember we played Newcastle about a year ago, and they absolutely played like their lives depended on it, and nothing did, and everything was at stake for us. And that was part of St. James's Park under the lights, wasn't it? Well, this ain't that. The crowd ain't going to be there this time, so it's just down to ability. So the question is, I'm sure most of the players look like you did this morning, Gareth. You know what I mean? And it looked as though after the Man City game that, you know, it had taken its toll. So I don't know if they've learned from that and they want to hang fire from that. They might just look at, you know, who looks the fittest, who looks the sharpest.
Have you seen the picture of Trent today, mate?
No, I haven't. No, I'll have to have a look at that.
Think he's had a bevy.
Yeah, okay, so I'll tell you what. So speaking of the team, and we'll start Nico Williams right back, won't we, by the sound of it. And they all deserve that, don't they? And then this is an ideal opportunity here, isn't it? You're allowed five substitutes now. So he's going to use them all, isn't he? And I think they've shown great professionalism, really, in the fact that since they've won the league, they've still tried. Obviously, it's subconsciously, and just the physical and mental energy that Liverpool have spent over the years and since Jürgen's been there of getting to the summit. You know, it's going to take something out of you, and you're not, you know, you're going to need to have a bit of a rest and whatever. So it's just one last hurrah. It's dead difficult to call. Newcastle are very Newcastle, aren't they? You know, they're not, you know, they're just in the middle of the table. The fans ate the owners, and, you know, there's nothing to talk about. Most people couldn't name who the starting 11 was. It's just a very difficult game to call. I just don't, you go out there, when you watch your team, you just want them to win, don't you? So as long as we put a shift in, we should be all right.
And what do you reckon, Paul? What do you reckon he'll do with the team? I mean, I think we all last night thought, you know, everyone I spoke to was like, he plays the strongest team because, you know, you want to make a statement. You want to go out with a bang with champions. They did all that, you know. So this game against Newcastle, you know, just start lashing in, Shaqiri, you know, do you give Lallana the moment that he so desperately wanted last night? And that, you know, if there was one little sad story, it was his face last night. But, you know, do you give all these boys, the peripheral boys, a game, or do you still go strong? What do you think, mate?
We want 99 points. Klopp wants 99 points. My only worry is, who's been partying? How hard have they been partying? Can we pick those that have partied less? Because they'll be the strongest. They're there for the taking in terms of if we actually perform on the night. But if we go at it half-heartedly, if we put players on who perhaps shouldn't be played if we want the points, we won't get the points. We've got to go for it. And yeah, another 99-point season would be fantastic. But let's make sure that we actually go for it properly rather than just half-heartedly. I've got an emotional want to see the likes of Shaq and Lallana get game time, of course I do. But bring them on once it's done and dusted.
I think Evo, that's a good point about the points, basically. I think, you know, that's another thing that's maybe got a little bit lost in that, you know, we got the 97 last season, and that was the most in Liverpool's history, and it was the most for a runner-up in the top flight and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's got lost, I think, in the conversation about being the best team ever points-wise, that if we end the season on 99 points, that's amazing.
Yeah, unbelievable achievements. I mean, you know, to maintain that intensity and consistency over two seasons, to get 97 and 99 this year would be incredible. You know, but we were desperately unlucky not to win the league last year, in my opinion. I thought Man City putting that run together was ridiculously good. And then to have the mentality and strength to push on through and get, you know, 99 points the season after would be an incredible achievement. I think he makes a few changes, mate. I think you'll probably see the likes of Curtis Jones. I think you'll see Nicol Williams, and I think you might even see Shaqiri or Lallana coming in. Maybe if Dejan Lovren gets a shelter if he's not injured. I just think it's one of them games where you'll still want to fancy his chances to win. Newcastle are probably on the beach, but in the fifth flop, as you say, because their season is done and dusted, safe mid-table, and nothing to play for, really. So I'd imagine even if we go there and put half a strength side up, we'll still be confident of going in and getting the results. But I think you want to give some lads a bit of a rest. And obviously, you know, there's not going to be much time between now and the start and the new season. You'd imagine that there's no confirmed date yet. But I mean, Salah can't really get the golden boot now unless he bags five or six. I think he's four behind now, isn't he? So yeah, I think you'll see a lot of changes when a few kids come in and some minutes for the lads who probably deserve it. You know, looking around, Lallana was. It was heartbreaking, wasn't it, a little bit, just to see his face. I literally felt for him so bad. But, you know, it was nice for him to lift the trophy with Klopp at the end as well. That was a nice little touch to the manager. But I think you'll definitely see him and a few changes on the weekend.
And Jackie, how are you feeling about Liverpool generally now? I mean, you know, there's lots of conversations. Again, what I said before, almost, you know, people, you know, such is the way of society, it seems a little bit that you're immediately like, okay, what next? And in the what next conversation, lots of people want Liverpool to make big signings, to bring new players in, all that kind of stuff. I mean, how are you feeling about the squads, about their ability, about what they can do next season? And are you desperate to see new big names come into Liverpool?
Yeah, we had this conversation like earlier in the season when people banging on about Coutinho, we should bring him back. And the question is, who do you drop? You know, you bring in that big name. Who do you drop out of that team? You know, we're already in a situation where you kind of go in, well, you know, Adam Lallana, what a shame that he didn't have more game time. Shaqiri, you know, James Milner. You know, we've had some unfortunate injuries during the season. But generally, you know, that team that are out last night, you know, one of them's going to get dropped to bring back Henderson. You've already got a strong team now. If we are going to challenge on every domestic front and you're as well, and you know, my personal goal for next season is the league and the European Cup. You know, don't want much. you know, to the extent I've already got my hotel booked in Istanbul, I'm that convinced. You know, we want to compete on all those fronts. Yet we do need more depth. But you're talking about kind of bringing through the youth players. They're looking kind of, you know, really, really strong, the ones that are coming through. You know, maybe some more of the, you know, kind of 8 or 9 million who are doing well somewhere. Maybe we need to kind of look at the centre halves a bit more because, you know, okay, Virgil's first name on the sheet, but you know, we've had kind of challenges with sort of Matip, Gomez, Lovren and maintaining fitness. So, you know, maybe you're looking there, but I'm not kind of, you know, running off to Twitter to kind of whine because, you know, we haven't signed Timo Werner or we're not kind of getting linked with Koulibaly. You know, if we didn't sign anyone, we didn't sign anyone last season either, really. You know, we had the same thing where people were moaning last August. And here we are, champions of just about everything.
What about you, Damien? How are you feeling about the idea of squad strength and potential holes and potential places where, you know, we might need to improve? I mean, the other thing that maybe, you know, we do need to consider is that it's players that will go. I mean, we know Lallana will go for definite. There's a lot of talk that this will be the season where Lovren finally goes, not least as I've exclusively revealed before on the Anfield app. I know the lad who does his garden. And it does seem that his missus is certainly talking in terms of that he's looking to go. So he could go and my mate's going to lose a garden. Lallana, as I say, is another one. Shaqiri's one where you think, you know, is he getting enough time? Probably not. He might move on. Origi, big question mark around him and how he's performed this season. You know, what you expect? I know the managers said what the managers said, and you kind of, I'm torn on that. Like, managers do say that. You know, managers do say, we're not going to do any business, and then they'll just do something. And you know, Liverpool have pulled rabbits out the hat now. We're getting used to that old school way of the way Liverpool do transfers. Since really Van Dijk, when they got the fingers burnt and it all went too public, and, you know, Southampton put the complaint in. Since then, they've got business done as much as you can in the modern day on the quiet. So what are you expecting, mate, you know, given the coronavirus situation and everything? Yeah.
Obviously, the markets, we don't know how it's going to go, and it doesn't look like it's going to be a very normal transfer window. We don't know that, though, do we? We don't know what Liverpool have done. The fact that the club's been so well-run recently encourages us, and the fact that they've had the eye for the right deal, and they don't just buy a number of players and get and you know, sort of spread better. They wait and get the right one. Now, we're flying on one engine at left-back, aren't we? They think about it, and the full-backs are such a fundamental part of the way Liverpool attack. So that's something that we really seriously need addressing, a very natural left-sided player who can get up and down like that. It's interesting, the five subs thing, I think, changes things slightly. If you look at last night, for example, Pulisic comes on at that time when you can, you know, you can bring two more players on now. So you haven't got to keep a couple in your back pockets in case there's injuries. You can throw extra gambles on and you can take more chances constructively, offensively like that. And so while the likes of Shaqiri and Divock might say, oh, well, we're just not going to get a chance, Jürgen might be able to persuade them or say, look, I've got two more lads to play here. I can get yous on. That's if the budget means that we can't get anybody else or you've got enough faith. Or we're going to have to buy somebody else. Because, you know, if Man City and Chelsea have got attacking options, and I know that we're better than them at the back, and I'm not scared of them, but you do have to keep improving. There's always the team is fantastic. I wouldn't change the goalie. I wouldn't change the two centre-halves, the right-back. You know, if you think about it, the 11, you wouldn't change the first 14. But more, and football is a 14-man game in this day and age, and you've got to think of it in those terms. Well, it's just turned into a 16-man game. So while Liverpool's best signings in the last few years hasn't just been Virgil and Alisson, it's been keeping the other star players that we've got. Coutinho leaves, that's it. Nobody else leaves anymore. And so the wages go up and the agent fees goes up because we have what we hold. But there's got to be a shelf life to that somewhere. And maybe there's one more year left in it. But I would say, and I'm not desperate, if I don't see Liverpool sign a big player at this point in time, as long as they keep everybody and get covered on the left-hand side, we've certainly got enough to get us to the first transfer window. But I do think there's a subtlety here with that five subs thing being in next year that they really have got to do something there, because there's always somewhere you can improve. And, you know, like Jackie was saying before, and everyone's agreeing on here, it's about the depth, isn't it? That's what I'm referring to. So not much to do, just maybe one or two.
Yeah, and there's a thing, isn't there, Paul? I think, you know, Damien said it really well about the way Liverpool have operated in the transfer market, what they do. You know, you can argue, I think, you know, with some validation that it's quite conservative what they do in some ways. It's not conservative when you go out and break absolute world records for players. But other than Virgil, other than the goalkeeper, you know, most of the other stuff has felt relatively conservative. They've come out and said what they've said about revenues and stuff like that. We know that they're not on the same financial plane as Man City, as Chelsea. But we've beat those sides. We've won the league. You know, that is the validation for the approach, if you like. And also, I think the other thing is that, you know, we all love the goal last night, the team goal, the breakout from Chelsea being on the attack to Liverpool, putting it in the back of the net. And you know, and one key component to that goal is Curtis Jones spotting the pass, being able to execute the pass, being a young lad from Liverpool on the pitch who's fitting right in. Now, you know, you want to see opportunities for him, don't you? You want to see opportunities for Nico Williams. We're all loving the fact that he's coming on the pitch and doing so well. We're excited about Harvey Elliott. You know, Brewster last night scores another screamer on loan at Swansea, you know, because he come in and do stuff. So there's stuff like that. For me, there's plenty of stuff to get excited about. And I'm not even bothered anymore. There'll be someone somewhere, they'll be listening to this, who'll decide to tweet me and tell me that John Henry's dropping a bag of cash outside my flat for being positive about FSG again or whatever. I'm not arsed. There's loads of stuff to get excited about this Liverpool side, isn't there, Paul? With or without transfers.
I mean, when we've had the young lads come on and play, and watching them play in exactly the same style as the first team, to see their positioning for every set piece, they line up exactly as the first team would do. They put themselves around the pitch exactly as the first team would do. They've got it through the DNA. That is top to bottom what's happening in the club, is you've got a style of play that Jürgen said, this is how we play. It's damn successful. It's great to watch. We know that. But that's right the way down to the academy. And to see those academy youngsters coming through as they are at the minute, I just hope that they continue to improve in their technique and their passion, just as some of the players that we've had for a long time have certainly come through a long journey of improvement. You know, so many people mocked Hendo when he first started, Lallana the same. And now that they're seen as players that there's a lot of love for them because they deliver and they achieve so much for the club. And let's hope that the likes of Harvey Elliott, Curtis Jones and the rest come forward, continuing to improve, keeping hold of the sense of team and not recognising themselves as the big I am sort of stuff, which I don't think would be allowed anyway. And yeah, I do think we could do with another couple of players, but really so that we can perform in as many competitions as possible with a real chance of success at bagging every trophy.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Listen, this Liverpool side, I am sure, will win more trophies. We've got loads to talk about all the way through the summer. We should be talking, no doubt, about transfers, about potential transfers, about potential ins and outs. Rob Gutman will be getting so excited about transfer news because he is the transfer man at the Anfield Wrap. That has been the weekend. Thanks to everyone there. Thanks to all our guests all the way through. I think we did all right, to be honest with you. Fueled by hangovers, fueled by alcohol, fueled by the champions of England. That has been the weekender. Up the Reds. Sports Social Podcast Network.